We're only a few weeks into 2019, but already forecasts are suggesting a rough year ahead for the Australian economy. Overnight, the International Monetary Fund cut its global growth forecast amid signs of slowdowns in China, Japan and Europe. In a speech to the Sydney Institute today, the Treasurer Josh Frydenberg said the federal government is building buffers that will protect Australia from the gathering storm clouds. The Treasurer Josh Frydenberg joins me now. Welcome back to RN Drive and, of course, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, Patricia. I was enjoying reading your tweets and your travels around the country.
Ah, look, I wasn't afraid to share, but let's get to the serious stuff, which of course is, you know, jobs, growth and people's standard of living. What are the buffers you're building into the economy?
Well, essentially paying back the Labor debt that we inherited. Let's not forget that when
First comment, I've got to pick you up on it, is Labor debt. You've been in government for two terms. The question is, what buffers are you building into the economy?
Well, there wouldn't have been any debt if the Howard and Costello years had continued as they did, because they obviously paid back the debt that they inherited from the Labor Party, and it left surpluses and money in the bank. Now, that was squandered through the Rudd-Gillard years, and now we have, through very difficult and hard decisions at the Expenditure Review Committee process, reduced the rate of spending growth, and we will deliver a budget surplus on April the 2nd this year. So what we are doing is ensuring that the debt levels come down. We'll see surpluses at around 1% of GDP over the medium term, and this will enable Australia to better respond to the crises when and if they occur at an economic level.
You highlighted a lot of new challenges to the Australian economy, and of course today they've been outlined, you know, internationally by the IMF, but your speech didn't contain anything new. Why was that?
Well, my speech was an outline of the economic plan that we have rolled out and continue to roll out. It did outline in some detail about the tax cuts that we have legislated, both for 3.3 million small businesses and for 10 million Australian income earners, the instant asset write-off, the $75 billion infrastructure project, projects that we are funding, the $200 billion defence industry plan, the record spending on health and education.
Sure, but with respect, Treasurer, that's just a list of things that you've been doing. There's no new strategy to deal with what the IMF's been talking about, the slowing economy of China. I mean, there's no new strategy there.
Well, these things actually matter to your listeners and to the people of Australia, because these actually are the policies and the initiatives and the support that we are providing to enable people to have a better life. Now, when it comes to the strength of the Australian economy, let's not forget that we inherited an economy where unemployment was at 5.7%. Through the work that we have undertaken, unemployment has fallen to 5.1%, and we've created more than 1.2 million new jobs, and a record number of women and young people are finding work. In terms of growth, we inherited an economy where growth was at 2.1%. Now it's at 2.8%. So our economic plan, to your question, Patricia, is working.
Okay. Most economists agree that wage growth will be crucial to the ability of households to absorb some of these economic shocks. But wage growth is expected to remain pretty stagnant. Does the government have a plan to tackle it?
Well, wage growth has been gradual, and we'd like to see it to be stronger.
Okay, but what's your strategy to tackle wage growth?
It's through our tax plan, it's through our infrastructure plan, it's through greater flexibility in the workplace. And in fact, we saw the biggest jump in wage growth in 3 years in the September quarter at 2.3%. Now, this compares to inflation, which is running at 1.9%. So real wages aren't growing as much as we would like. But if you look at the last monetary statement from the Reserve Bank Governor and statements that they've made prior to that, they say that the outlook for the labour market is positive, and that actually over time we will see increases in wages. But what Australia is going through in terms of real wages, Patricia, is not confined to just our country.
Yeah,
we're actually
seeing the things in the
United Kingdom and elsewhere.
Okay,
as well.
But the things that you've outlined aren't going to lead to high wages, are they?
I mean, absolutely.
How can you demonstrate to me that your tax cuts are going to lead to higher wages? Because there's been no evidence of that.
Well, actually, that's not right. When you create incentives for people to grow their businesses, for example, our small business tax cuts, when you create incentives for more people to go to work and to invest, then this actually enables the economy.
That's an economic theory that you're outlining to me. You're not actually pointing to evidence.
Well, let me actually do one contrast for you, which is economic fact. And that is, Labor is proposing a 50% increase in the capital gains tax. The Center for International Economics, which is an independent institution, said that actually as a consequence of Labor's high tax agenda with the CGT, we'll actually see wages fall by $600.
Okay.
Now, that is a fact from a proper analysis by an independent body.
You've warned against what you say are punitive taxes proposed by Labor.
Correct.
But the Shadow Treasurer, Chris Bowen, says these measures will actually boost government revenue. And of course, government revenue being boosted at a time like this, at a time that the IMF is warning about, is necessary. He's right, isn't he, that you need that buffer?
He's wrong and he's dreaming.
But don't you need that buffer? That's the question.
Well, actually, his policies will dampen economic activity. And that Centre for International Economics report points exactly to that fact, that if you actually raise taxes...
But they will boost government revenue, which is what's needed.
Not necessarily. What they're actually going to do is stamp out entrepreneurship.
Okay, but you can't say on one hand that these are higher taxes and then say there's not going to be more money to the bottom line, because there clearly is.
No, because what you're failing to understand, Patricia, is the consequential impact across the economy of a high tax agenda. You see, if you punish aspiration, if you make it more difficult for businesses to employ people, if you deny people the opportunity to save for their retirement, or if they do, you punish them for doing so, then actually you shrink the economy and you ensure that the pie, the economic pie, is smaller to redistribute. Now, that's the flaw in the Labor Party's approach. And independent economists, for example, when it comes to the property market, have pointed out that if you abolish negative gearing as we know it, which is Labor's plan, then housing prices will fall, with impacts on the real economy and household consumption.
There's a lot of contested research on what you're talking about. I want to move to another topic. It's been the biggest story of the day. Late last year, Scott Morrison intervened to guarantee all pre-selections for sitting MPs in New South Wales. Why has he parachuted Warren Mundine into Gilmore, where Grant Shultz has already been pre-selected?
Well, I know you'll want to talk about the internals of the Liberal Party, probably for more of the interview than on the global or national economy.
I've actually given the global economy a very significant amount of time on national radio, but you answer my question. Why has he done this?
Well, in terms of the pre-selection and the candidates for the state seat, state divisions,
It's the federal parliament, though.
But that's right. But they're state divisions, and in this case, the national seat of Gilmore or the national seat of Higgins, those processes will be conducted by the state divisions of the Liberal Party.
Okay, but you are the deputy leader of the Liberal Party. Grant Shultz is running as an independent. In a statement, he said the leadership of Scott Morrison has taken the party to the days of Eddie Obeid and the faceless men of Labor.
Oh, look, he can make whatever comments he wants, but the reality is the pre-selection processes are run by the state divisions, and I'll leave it at that.
Given the low numbers of women in the Liberal Party, should you think about parachuting some women into seats too?
Well, as you know, and this has been much debated over the summer period, we would like to get more women into the federal parliament.
So why not do what you've done with Warren Mundine? Since you did it with Warren Mundine, why wouldn't you do it to increase the numbers of women that the Liberal Party has in the parliament?
Well, and I'm sure you'll get to this, but in the case of Higgins, we made it very clear that we'd like to see a female replacement.
Yeah, that's
Kelly
one
O'Dwyer.
Seat, but you need to do a lot more work to get the numbers up.
Well, And that's what we are doing. And our target is to get to 50% by 2025. And if you look at a number of the women running for us, both the Senate and at the House of Representatives level, they're really impressive candidates. For example, Holly Hughes, who's worked with kids with disabilities, who's leading our Senate ticket in New South Wales. Linda Reynolds, okay, who's leading our Senate ticket in Western Australia.
But just to be clear,
in the Army Reserve.
Do you think this strategy that we've now seen with Warren Mundine for this seat of Gilmore should be used for women in other seats?
Look, I'm not going to entertain you on that one,
Patricia. I just would like to get your views as the Deputy Leader of the Liberal Party.
I'm sure you'd like to talk about the internals.
But it's not. It's about who represents us in the federal parliament.
And that will be a decision for the people of Gilmore. And as for the pre-selection process, that will be a decision for the State Division.
So you don't have a view about whether this kind of strategy should be used to get more women into the parliament?
Well, my view is that if you want to keep talking about the Liberal Party's internal
I asked
politics,
you a question about
less time to talk
about representation,
the national economy, and
about representation.
And
it's an issue of representation. It's called democracy, and it's important.
Well, of course, the representation is critical, and I can tell you about some fantastic candidates.
Yeah, but
that
I'm asking you whether you support this strategy.
Look, I will support who the Liberal Party chooses as our representative in Gilmore, and that person will take to the election a very strong economic record for the party that they represent and the government that
is serving
Australia.
Do you think Warren Mundine would be a good candidate?
Look, Warren Mundine has many strengths and he's well known in public life.
This is the seat being vacated by Ansard Marlis, who resigned because she was being undermined by branch members, many of whom resigned today. How do you think she'd be feeling?
Well, I'm sure you'll invite her onto your show.
But what do you make of it, though?
But you're asking me.
Yeah, I'm asking you to honestly speak to me.
Patricia, you're asking me to opine on the attitude or the feelings of another person. That's a pretty ridiculous question.
It's not ridiculous. It's a good question, and you should answer it.
Well, I'm not going to entertain such a question.
Okay, at least you've been honest that you're just not going to entertain the question. Do you accept, though, that what's happened in the seat of Gilmore by parachuting Warren Mundine in is actually going to cause enormous internal upheaval for the Liberal Party?
Well, now you're matching the number of questions on the economy by the number of questions
probably
on Gilmore.
Am.
Well, you
if you'd answered them, then I wouldn't have to.
Well, like I said, I'm the Treasurer. I've just delivered a major speech to the Sydney Institute. It was all about how there are some global headwinds in the international economy and how domestically we also face some challenges, but the economic record is strong, and how our economic plan of lower taxes, more flexible workplaces, greater infrastructure spending and free trade agreements is delivering record number of jobs for the Australian people.
Josh Frydenberg, thanks for joining us.
Always good to be with you.
That's the Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, who was rather reluctant to talk about what's been going on in some of those seats, of course, but was more prepared to talk about his main issue, of course, the economy. He delivered a speech today, the IMF warning of a downturn too globally.